وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salam alaikum. This is Hussein, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we talk about Islamic teachings pertaining to humanity. And in the previous episodes, we started covering a very good book in this regard titled A 250-Year-Old Person, which is a combination of the lectures delivered by His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei about the life stories and biographies of the great leaders of Islam, the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the leaders and imams from his pure progeny. So in the last episode, we were covering the first chapter. We were talking about the life stories of the Prophet of Islam, and we're talking about the qualities and personal characteristics of the Prophet as the leader of the community. And we said that one of the things that is interesting in the Sira and lifestyle of the Prophet ﷺ as the leader of the community is that he would not lose the balance between his own personal relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the leadership duties that he had to carry out with regards to his community. For example, in a situation like the battlefield, that is a very serious situation, and mostly maybe you think that we should not show weakness, for example, and that is the case, you know, because a whole army, a whole community are looking at you as their role model, and you should not break down. And this was so with the Prophet ﷺ. He would encourage his army to tell them to be strong, to be steadfast on the right path throughout the war, for example, manages different parts of the army here and there. And then all of a sudden, the whole army would see that he would fall on his knees and start praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very humble way, like ibtihal or tadarru, that you show with all your physical and spiritual aspects of being that you need help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you don't feel embarrassed. And he wouldn't feel embarrassed. And the contrast there was a meaningful contrast for people who were there. They realized that the leader that we have is dependent on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would start crying, weeping, shedding tears, and having this supplication conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, oh Lord, you help us and you support us. You get control of the evil intentions of the enemies. And so this prayer would not stop him from having a strategic planning. This is very important. Actually, this is in the teaching of the Prophet himself. Verbally, he said it to one of his companions, because most of the time, we might have this mentality, whether we choose the spiritual path for our problems or we choose the physical. For example, there is this person who has a disease, whether we should pray for him or we should take him to the doctor. So this happened for one of the companions of the Prophet. He had a camel. He said, okay, I have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawakkul, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb, is the ultimate manager of all the affairs in the universe. And because of that, I do not tie the knee of my camel. So there was this practice of, if you want your camel not to run away, you would tie the knee of that animal. So I said, okay, I'm just leave it free. And then I have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when I come back, the camel will be there. The Prophet told him, no, aqilha wa tawakkal. You do your part, and also trust and rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the parts that are out of your control. But those that are under your control, you have to take care of them yourself. That is very important. This is a teaching in the both the lifestyle of the Prophet and the teachings and ahadith that have been, or accounts that have been reported by his companions. We will have a break and we come back.
From luxury you turned away, and all night you would pray, truthful in every word you say, Muhammad, ya Rasulallah, your face was brighter than the sun.
Welcome back. This is Hussein, and you're listening to your program for humanity. In the first segment, we were talking about a very important balance that we should have with regards to our efforts and our works, plans in life. That at the same time that we have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is in Islam called tawakkul, we also do not ignore the duties that we have with regards to the efforts and the works that are under our control. And the Prophet ﷺ would do it himself. Like in the battlefield, the Prophet, would behave like a professional general, like taking care of all the different strategic dimensions of the battlefield. And at the same time, he would not say, okay, I have done what I had two, and then let's just see what happens. Let's just start the fight. No, he would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help as well, because we know that everything in life that we have, some elements, some aspects of it are under our control that we should take care of, but there are many or countless other aspects that are completely out of our control. And if we focus on those things that are out of our control, then we're going to fail. If we only believe that we are in full control of everything, again, we're going to fail. But if we believe that, yes, those aspects that are under our control, we take care of them carefully to the fullest level of our capacity, and then we leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Him for help and support, and then we wait for the result. So this is the thing that we see in the lifestyle of the Prophet. Both verbally he taught to his companion this, and practically he showed his companion that you should not be stopped by one of these from the other. And the kind of change that he could make throughout these years is astonishing, and the kind of reform that he made both in that community and the seed that he planted within the hearts of people, and that seed grew and developed to be this full-fledged civilizations in the years to come, in the centuries to come, that is nothing short of a miracle, and it is a miracle, and that's why we believe Quran is the final, one of the reasons that we believe that Quran is the miracle of Islam, is this. Yes, there is that eloquent aspect, that Quran is eloquent, that is unmatched in terms of the eloquence, Arabic eloquence and everything, that is true. But the other aspect of Quran, that seed that the Prophet was the means through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planted this seed in humanity, is that the change that Quran made in different communities afterward, it was not just the Arab communities that Quran impacted, it's also Persian and other area, the Levant, North Africa, even far West Africa to the subcontinent. All of these places, people that encountered the teachings of the Holy Quran realized that it has some interesting and the interesting truth, and it deserves attention and careful reading. And great scholars of Islam, they were not Arabs, great scholars of Islam, they came from other races. And that's very important. Some people who try to say that it's a racial religion or ethnic religion. No, Islam is not a racial and ethnic religion. It's a global religion. And the fact proving this is that even in the early centuries of Islam, great scholars of Islam, they were from other races. So from the start, it was a global religion. It's a long discussion. Inshallah, we will continue it in the next episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jannah, Jannah, it's all I ever wished for.